Blog Talk Radio.
I say to myself, what a fucked up world. Yeah. And I say to myself, what a fucked up world.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to Reconstructions Live. This is live. This is Michael Sledge on the Renegade Broadcasting Network. Thanks for tuning in. Gonna take calls tonight. So I'm on Blog Talk. I broke my internet headphones, and the check from Abe Foxman hasn't come in yet, so I can't buy a new pair. So I was going to try to afro-engineer them with some duct tape, Nigerian rig them, but I said, what the hell? Phone calls. Let's see if we get some good calls tonight. Let's see if there's some trolls maybe want to call in from the Internet Jewish Concentration Camp, also known as Mammy Shit. Let's see if any of those paid professionals want to call in and run their kosher dill pickle-eating lips here on this show tonight. Yeah, I'm in the mood. I'm sunburnt. Just got back from vacation, so it's kind of like, you know, I wasn't looking forward to coming back to the real world. Welcome, everybody. A lot of stuff has happened in this last week. And it looks like Obummer has about 16 scandals going on at the same time. Must have pissed off some Jewish people somewhere. Seems like he's got an IRS scandal with Eric Holder, but I don't even know her yet. He's got that scandal going on. He's got the Jew IRS scandal going on. Looks like the only Gentile got sacked, Miller. Lerner and the other Jew are still there. Eric Holder most likely is like an Al Jolson operative. He's still around. We got, let's see what else is going on. We got scandal after scandal after scandal going on. Seems to me like, wait a minute, let's look back here. Let's think for a second. 2 weeks ago now, almost to the day, Israel, that dirt box in the Middle East, and Benjamin Netanyahu, he decided to bomb Syria. And it looks like, from all the articles I've been reading, that they didn't get backup support the way they wanted to. And it seems like we have a bunch of scandals popping out all at the same time. Amazingly. You remember when the liar and serial rapist Bill Clinton was president? And he made Benjamin Netanyahu stay at a Holiday Inn. He wouldn't let him sleep in the White House. And Monica Jewinsky scandal broke out pretty quick after that. Yes. Deja vu. Seems to me that, hey, Mr. President, when they bomb Syria again, you might want to make sure you give them full support. Oh, man, it is funny to watch. And this is how the operation goes, folks. The fake news, scandals, and, he's got the AP press scandal going on, too, where he went after phone records of the Associated Press there. Most likely, he collected the phone records of the Jews in the media. So most likely, what do we have here? He's pissed off the Jewish media. He's pissed off Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. He's pissed off, looks like the Syrian operation, he didn't give them the support they wanted there. He's been doing everything else right with the multicultural programming. That's been going well. The immigration issue's been going well. But you see, when it comes down to it, you know, they're like, oy vey! Oh, you let the Mexicans in? That's great. We love Jewish tacos. That's good. Oy vey, you did great. You did great, Barry. You did great on all those issues. They have the hordes coming in as a cloaking device for us. Oh, we love that. But we're supposed to get more backup when we bomb Syria. That was part of the project for the Jew-American century. Yes, yes. We're supposed to have regime change in Syria, regime change in Libya. You did very well there when you had Hillary Kinkle Clinton performing the liberation of Libya so we could bring in more gefilte fish in Libya there and loot the gold and fossilized water. You did great there, Cousin Barry, and but you not so good here. Not so good. So you got 16 scandals going on, and that's the way it works. Because you see, when you screw up, and this what this basically is, in my opinion, is when you screw up and you don't follow through on the more important issues to our good friends over there, the La Kosher Nostra, it's easy to put you in line. Because, you see, the president is selected by them, and he's done a great job as the first Jewish president. Remember that? According to, he's actually the second black president. The first black president we had was Bill Clinton. So he's the second black president. He's done a good job. He's been to the Wailing Wall. He's kissed that. And he's been a pretty good, but I think it was Newsweek actually said he was the first Jewish president or the first complete kosher cabinet. In reality, we've had kosher cabinets for a long time, for a long, long time. But this was kind of so outrageous from the Chicago school. And I mean, it was a joke. And then they link all of this to these various scandals that pop out of nowhere. Benghazi, give me a break. You know, that whole thing, nobody cared about that when it happened. And now all of a sudden the media cares about it again. Oh, I heard Geraldo Rivera on the radio, and he was saying, Benghazi Gate is big time, serious, serious scandal for this administration. And just 6 months ago during the election, Geraldo Rivera was saying, this is no big deal. Hey, this is nothing. Nothing to be concerned about here. It's not his fault. Hillary had nothing to do with it. This is just, you know, a bureaucratic snafu. Never mind, there's dead people. No big deal. Now all of a sudden, Geraldo Rivera is saying, Benghazi's very serious. Very serious. Oh, my God. He's gone after Jews in the AP. He's got the IRS. And guess what? This IRS scandal's pretty outrageous because it's allegedly they're only targeting Republican and conservative grassroots organizations. Let me tell you something. This is just like the ADL list that we've talked about on this network before. It's just like the ADL list. It's they like to go after people to give them more credibility. Because you see, here's what's happening here. They have to keep the two-party system in place. Okay, they do not want to see one of the two parties completely go in the dust, go down the drain. And the Republican Party has been heading down the tubes for a long time because basically there's no use for the Republican Party anymore. The Republican Party is a complete waste, and they're struggling to find relevance for it, you know, because they've become the Democratic Party light, if you will. You know, they won't take a stand on culture issues. They won't protect the white people of this country on any issue. We got Rand Paul going to Israel, kissing the Wailing Wall, going to the Chamber of Commerce, saying, bring in all the illegals. We love them. You know, we got Marco Rubio over there. We got all these, you know, different minority groups, Herman Cain and his 999 plan. That's if you elect me president, you get a large pizza and wings and a large drink for $9.99. We got him. We got that party has been going down the tubes for a long, long time. But you see, they have to prop it up. They have to give it relevance because they're afraid of the nationalist movement on the rise. They're afraid that real nationalism might come to this country, and they have to make sure They have to make sure that they keep the two-party, one-party scam in place. And so, miraculously, this does two things. All these scandals coming out at the same time do two things. They give credibility, once again, to the GOP. To the GOP. They give instant credibility to that again as the party of, you know, the check and balance, as the opposition party doing its investigations. So they will get credibility again, and guess what? We're approaching a midterm election next year, and midterm elections, minorities don't like to vote on midterm elections. They're always good years for the GOP, and they won't have all the Mexicans and blacks voting, and cankle feminists with hair on them voting. So they'll have just pissed off white people who will be fueled by IRS scandal, going after the Tea Party and all this crap. And it'll most likely be a good year, and they'll be able to get in some more GOP members to the House and the Senate that will be even more in the back pocket of Israel and more in the pocket of the Israeli war machine to bomb whatever country they want to bomb, to have regime change wherever they want to have it. And so this is great. This scandal's great. And at the end of the day, Obama ain't going anywhere because they love him. They need Mr. Multicultural in power there in Washington. They need the Chicago School. It's great. So what happens is they bolster up through these scandals the two-party system. They get to promote and put people like Rush Limbaugh in the spotlight again, put fake grassroots organizations in the spotlight again, like the Tea Party, right, through these fake scandals. Oh, we have credibility. The IRS went after us. Oh, we have credibility. You see, Obama, according to behind-the-scenes papers, says that he's more worried about these groups. He's worried about us. We're very effective. And what happens? People within their anger and their energy will be funneled right back into the GOP, the GOP mouthpieces like Hush Matzah Ball, okay, the Tea Party, all of these groups. And Obama will take a small hit. They'll make him look stupid, just like they did Bill Clinton in 94 for those off-term elections. Okay, and then after the off-term elections, they'll boost his popularity up again. He's not going anywhere, and there'll be more GOP members in the House and in the Senate. And then what we see, we'll see an election, and they'll put someone like Rand Paul or Marco Rubio in, and the GOP will be back at the helm again. Yeah, that's their plan. And these scandals are nothing more than our good friends, the Jewish lobby, who control the press, who run the IRS, okay, who are the power behind this whole government that we have in this country. Make no mistake about it. They own this country, the United States of America, and particularly D.C., the District of Criminals. They own it. And this is nothing more than garbage. But what do these scandals do more than anything? What these scandals do more than anything is they help to... You remember I did the show on the World Jewish Congress? Well, guess what? What were the talking points coming out of that last World Jewish Congress meeting they had? The talking points were that that they needed to quarantine right-wing nationalist groups like the Golden Dawn. Right-wing parties like the Jobbik Party, okay, and other movements like that. Quarantine. Quarantine means to isolate. It means to delegitimize. It means to silence and put into the dustbin of media history, to make irrelevant during this process is what it means. And the good way to do that is to use your propaganda machine. Your propaganda machine being the mainstream media controlled by our good friends to make sure that the only people getting attention are people who they have selected to get that attention. They're point men in the media. The GYB network and Hush Matzah Ball, the GOP party, right? The Tea Party. I want you to remember the Tea Party was created out of Israel from the very beginning. I remember doing a show on this about 2 years ago, and the Tea Party actually had people from the Israeli politics, from Israel, help put together that whole operation. You had people like Dick Armey. You had clowns like that who've been bought and paid for by the Israeli lobby for a long, long time, working in that movement from the very beginning. And they have been kind of floundering and losing relevance. Well, now they'll be back on the radar just in time for the midterm elections. Just in time for the midterm elections. And they're saying, thank you, Obama. Thank you for the Christmas gift. Okay? Because you see, there's only one party in Washington. There's only one power in Washington, and that is the Jewish power and the Jewish structure. That's all that exists. There are no real check and balances. There are no real people representing the people of this country. They're only representing the lobbying groups and interests of one nation, of one tribe, and that is the interest of Israel and all of its lobbying powers. And these scandals are simply created to give credibility to the two-party system and their point men in the media so they can continue the scam that they've been doing for many, many years now. And that is directing your attention to who they want to direct your attention toward so they can consolidate even more of their power and move forward. And that's exactly what's going on here. Exactly what's going on. That's all that's going on here. That's it. It is a joke. And here's what they need. Obama, what was happening was, during the war on terror, that was losing credibility, okay? The left was protesting, and we started to see a coalition gathering steam in this country of the left and right kind of coming together against the wars, because it was total nonsense to a lot of people. And so they had to elect a multicultural president. He's most likely really Jewish, but everybody thinks he's black. They put him in office out of the Chicago school. That silences that side, and it puts to rest a lot of the attention that was exposing elements within the military-industrial complex and so on and so forth. And they could spend more time. They could take a break from the project for a Jew-American century. You had Libya, but nothing really major, okay? And they could concentrate on the multicultural agenda, bringing more illegals into this country to make sure they consolidate the communist voting bloc, to make sure they can destroy our culture and water down our identity racially in this country. And Obama was good for that. And they could pass their health care bill that would give more power to the Jewish pharmaceutical industry, that would give more power to the Jewish medical industry, and consolidate power there. That's all that was. That bill is not socialized medicine like the fake GOP calls it. It is anything but socialized medicine. It is not a single-payer plan. It is a Jewish corporate pharmaceutical bill that they wrote themselves that he rubber-stamped. So he was able to get a lot done. He was able to get a lot done. And as that program, because almost all second-term presidents are lame ducks, and he's a lame duck, and they have to start building up for the next agenda, for the next cycle of their consolidation phase, and that is back to the GOP, the good old kosher ping pong ball game that we've been seeing going on all our lives. Give it to one side, give it to the other. And it's time now just to give it to the other side again. And midterm elections are coming up. They've got to make sure they put more Likud party apparatchiks in Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, on the GOP side. They can't do it in a regular presidential election, so they always do this in a midterm election. That's what they're doing now. And these scandals will be used for that. And then mysteriously, here's what's going to happen, folks. Mysteriously, after the midterms, all of these scandals disappear, go away. And then guess what? Then you have a coalition government where the GOP, the newly elected GOP, will work with Obama. They'll pass all kinds of crazy shit, probably expand free trade even more. And he'll go out the door, and they'll bring in Marco Rubio or Rand Paul or somebody else. Typical basic politics 101. It's 101. That's it. So, you know, who cares? That's how they operate. And, okay, we got callers. Well, let's see here. I got a caller here from the 661. I'll go ahead and take that call. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, hello. I'm from Europe. How are you doing, Mike Sledge?
Doing very well.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I will touch on that later, but I think you guys are a little bit too sensitive to the 9/11 thing. Quite
what
honestly.
Now?
9/11, why
what about
does it matter so much? It's obviously a terrorist or, act, but why was it so, I don't know, why did it touch your heart so much? Seeing those planes being rammed into these two symbols of global Judeo-capitalism. I'm fucking loving doing that myself.
Okay, I don't understand what you're trying to say here. It's done what now?
Okay. 9/11. Why
yeah,
are 9/11. You Americans so busy about 9/11? Okay, a couple
I'm not
of things,
busy about it at all. I hardly ever talk about it.
You hardly ever talk about it, but that's like the backbone of the whole truth movement.
It's not the backbone of my show. I hate the truth movement.
You hate the truth movement? Okay,
yeah, I mean,
okay,
the truth
okay.
movement is a bunch of Jewish garbage.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But I listen to all the shows, including yours, and everything is about 9/11 and how the Twin Towers were destroyed.
I haven't done any shows on 9/11 since I've been here at Renegade.
Okay. I will take it from your Renegade perspective then. Okay, let's talk about something else, which is actually the reason I called in.
Okay.
Have any of you actually thought of why you're so different from the rest of the white people?
Do what now?
Why are you so different from the rest of the white people?
Why am I so different from the rest of the white people?
Yeah, because, I mean, the rest of the white people, they love a nigger ball. They love all the MTV, everything, right? But you guys don't. So I ask you, why are you so different?
Well, I would disagree that all the white people love MTV and love rap music.
Oh, come on. They do. They do it even where I live. They all love it. They go and see some fucking nigger ball game, whatever. They love all the pieces of it. Why are you different? Have you ever asked yourself, why are you not like the other white people who seem to totally ignore your cause? And whatever.
Well, I don't think we are being totally ignored.
Yes, you are.
Well, obviously we're not. You called in, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so how are we being totally? If we're being totally ignored, then how the hell are you listening to this show?
Because I care. Maybe.
Where are you calling from? What country?
From Europe, my friend.
Europe.
Yes.
What part of Europe?
Let's say, I would say Northern Europe. But have you ever asked yourself why you are different from the rest of the people you spend a lot of time criticizing on air?
I can tell you why I'm different.
Okay.
Because I live in a multicultural shithole in the South where I'm about probably 15% of the population, and it fucking sucks, and that's what I talk about.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, you know, but, I mean, multicultural is a lot of things. My multicultural experience is that I have a lot more in common with what you can call people of other descent than actually white people. I'm actually alienated to white people.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you like gefilte fish and bagels?
Gefilte fish and bagels?
Yeah. Are they pretty good?
I know. What the fuck is that? That's
you like herring? You like
herring,
to eat herring?
I do. Absolutely, I do. I like
are you friend with Eli Lipschitz?
Eli Lipschitz No, that sounds a bit Jewish to me.
No, are you? Did you eat at Lipschitz Deli today and get a number 69?
I've told you this already lately. Don't take so many words and comprehend them. There's different languages, and some some places kaka means shit. You know, but here's my point. And
yeah.
I want you all to think about this.
Uh-huh.
Why are you thinking so much differently from the rest of your fellow Aryans?
Well, I don't think we are. That's the whole thing. I think the media only shows you one side of it. They don't show you, look, they don't cover the information that a lot of people talk about on shows like this and on networks like this. And the media is controlled by Jews, okay? And
yep.
And the Jew proxies are what, you know, rap music, multicultural garbage is what they put out. That's all they're going to show you, okay? So they're not going to show you, and I've said this before, that if there was a revolution in this country, they would continue lying and putting out fake pieces of media propaganda up until the reporters were actually removed from their seats in the studio. They will never quit. They will never stop. They have too much invested in this game. So I mean, you could have 80%. And we have the voting machines in this country already in place, so we don't even know how people really vote. So the whole thing is a lie and a sham and a mirage. So you know, we don't really know what the numbers are on either side, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but come on, you must have tried to evangelize a little bit.
Huh?
You must have tried to evangelize a little bit with your point of view. You must have put it out there at several times.
Actually, most people I talk to are starting to become more and more aware of this type of stuff, and they are waking up to a lot of, especially the racial and immigration angle. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now the Jewish angle, they're very slow on because of the Christian programming, okay?
That's
because of the Christian Zionist programming. But I'll tell you, where I live in the South, and let me just tell you, the South in the United States is a lot different from, say, New York or California or Colorado or any of those northern states. I mean, people down here who are white have been pissed off about a lot of things for a long time. They just haven't had an outlet that speaks for them.
Yeah, they might have had. I totally envy your position in the Americas a lot. It's not like that in Europe whatsoever. It's pretty hardcore. The reason I'm calling in is because, like, I've been through this for a long time. I've been thrown out of numerous dinner parties for speaking my mind and all this stuff. So I'm not precisely where you're coming from. No, I don't know, because you're painting a much more positive picture than it actually is. Because,
well, how do you know? I mean, you live in Europe.
I live in Europe, yeah. But from what at least I see on the internet, it looks fucking horrible.
Well, it is horrible in a lot of respects, but it's bad, okay? But it's not as totally consolidated and taken over 100% like they put out, because they always try to demoralize their opposition by making everybody apathetic and making you think that it's a losing battle and there's nobody out there that cares, and that's what they want you to think, so you just quit. They don't have to censor anymore. They just get people to quit and shut up.
But why do you think it's like that?
Oh, because you have a Jew media that perpetuates the bullshit. That's all.
Okay.
I mean, it's not hard to figure out.
People can't think for themselves whatsoever. They're completely ignorant. And
yeah, that's pretty much
different.
What makes me different? I just told you.
No, I think you were born different. I think you're a freak of nature.
A freak of nature?
Yeah.
I don't know about
that. Please. But here's the thing, like, all the guys, including me, I'm no longer into white supremacy. I've kind of given up the white thing. But here's the thing. I think some bad people for a while, they did a lot of good stuff. They built empires and stuff. But there's a reason why they're not around anymore.
Hey, caller, I have another. Would you hang on for a second? I want to bring this other caller on. He says he knows you. Hold on just for a second. Let me bring this caller up real here. He says he knows you. Hold on. Let me get this.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are on, caller. You are calling, looks like, from a... I don't recognize this area code. Where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Abe Foxman. How are you doing? I'm calling from Tel Aviv on vacation. I've just got to finish hanging out with Benjamin and Danielle, eating gefilte fish and lox, and I love hearing one of our paid advertisers calling into your broadcaster.
Well, it's an honor, Abe Foxman, to have you call into the broadcast. How long have you known the caller?
I have known this caller for many years. This caller is on payroll. He data mines many shows. He's data mining you now.
But wait a minute, Abe. Does that mean that you, since you've called into to a Renegade now, that I'm secretly on the payroll now?
Well, we can off air. We can talk about that. We can talk about that off air. But
God damn it! I told you not to call this show, Abe Foxman. Oh, he's gone. He's gone. They both get hit with a shrimp gun. Done. God. This is what happens. This is what happens when you open the lines. And this is why I only open up the lines occasionally. Occasionally. Let me go back to this Jewish caller here and see what he has to say about this. Jewish caller, are you there? That was Abe Foxman.
Oh, nice. I really want to meet that guy sometime.
Well, he says you already hung out together in the Mediterranean.
Fuck, I've never been to... Yeah, I have been to the Mediterranean, but not so close to Israel. It was,
you have been to the Mediterranean, caller. What part of the Mediterranean? When did you go? 9/11 was an inside job. When? How long have you worked for the Germanic Dev Cults and the Jews? Caller, either.
Germanic Death Cults. Come on. I love the Germanic Death Cults. We all love them. What did happen?
Who are you working for, caller? This is obvious. Caller.
I guess I'm working for my own kind. The very few among my own kind that I actually feel deserves to live. But here's the thing. My point altogether. I'll just put this out there into your mind. Have you ever considered, since you're so alone and you have such a hard time recruiting people, that
I don't have a hard time recruiting people. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, we are taking the New World Order down. Haven't you heard?
Yeah, but these are assholes. I mean, come on, Alex Jones. He's a fearmonger.
You are talking to Alex Jones, sir.
Alex has his own deal settled. It's fine. He can do whatever he pleases.
All right. Have a good time in Israel. See you later. All right. Next caller, 819. 819. Are you there? You're alive.
Yeah. Zapoper here.
Zapoper from the Jewish concentration camp. Mammy shit.
What's happening, man? Hey, that was fucking weird. Like, you got, like, a couple of Jews calling in.
Hell yeah.
That was kind of obvious, man. I think maybe we shouldn't waste time on callers like myself and Jews, too, you know? Oh, man.
Well, that's what I do when I have no material prepared. I take calls. Yeah. Because you know what?
Yeah.
It's like this. Even if we win and we take this country back, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know about Canada, but
No.
But when we take this country back, I'll tell you this.
I'm on your side, guys.
We need to keep one Jew on every college campus just so we don't forget the bullshit, okay?
Yeah. You know, the first caller was like a the twin brother of Chomsky or some shit. I mean, it was so obvious. The guy was he had a Israeli accent, the first one.
Hey, let's bring him back. He just called back. Let's bring him back and see what he has to say about this.
Yeah.
Jew caller, you are back on air with Zapopper from the Jewish concentration camp Mammy Shit.
Yeah, this is Jordan und ich bin Anfang.
Huh?
Anfang, yeah.
Anfang. Daft Punk. They were a techno band in the 90s.
Yeah. So here's the point.
Did he change his accent all of a sudden, or what? What the fuck's going on here?
I'm always changing my accent. Didn't you think the CIA trained me properly? I can do whatever I please. Like, ich bin ein Deutscher yet, so.
Oh, so you're just arrogant now? That's a little Jewy.
No, but my point is, please, quite honestly, you will have to become...
Hey, just tell us what your accent is from, where your accent is from, and then, you know, everything is going to be cool.
My accent is from Finland.
Oh, okay. So, can you talk in your... Just say a phrase in your native language so that we're sure that you're not in Tel Aviv. Okay, that sounded great. So I guess that's my mistake. That doesn't sound straight out of Tel Aviv, so I guess the whole thing is fucked up now.
Okay. Let's put it this way. Let's say I'm straight out of Tel Aviv. You're talking to a real live Ashkenazi devil Jew right now. What would you like to ask me?
Here's what I want to ask you. Oh my God! The call just dropped. I guess they don't have total power over the internet yet, because I just hit the internet kill switch, and that caller's gone. All right,
Zap. Are you fucking kidding me?
He's been raptured. He's with Kirk Cameron. They're all going to be in Jewish heaven together.
Oh, shit. No,
and this is a prime example of why I normally don't take calls.
Didn't it sound really, like, Jewish at first? Man, that was fucking weird.
Yeah, I hope it was a Jew calling in.
Even Kyle, thought he was a Jew, you know? It was weird, man. I don't know.
Could be going to DEFCON 5, DEFCON 6 here, folks.
Hope we didn't make a mistake and but first of all, what he was talking about was kind of wasting time for everybody. In the same lineup there, I'm not going to stay online for too long because I'm wasting time for you too. If you you said you had a pre-prepared, because usually – what's up with that? Yeah, before on Blog Talk Radio, you had problems with it a lot,
mm-hmm.
and Kyle would stream your thing there in advance, kind of thing. And now, what's going on? How come Blog Talk likes you all of a sudden?
Well, I'm not sure they do. I'm not going about – well, now that you brought that up, I'm sure that my show will get real choppy now. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. And but no, I'm going about it in a different way. It is an experiment. This is an experiment tonight to see what happens. But normally it doesn't work well for me. No, it doesn't. And that's why I go the other route. But I also wanted to take phone calls tonight because, you know, I like to take phone calls to see what's happening out there, see what the people want to call in and talk about. I don't do that a lot, and every once in a while I like to do a phone call show, and I have to go through this venue to do that.
Yeah. You were on a good streak over there earlier before you took some calls. There's something I wanted to say that I thought that you were pretty cool about the whole thing about Renegade and the whole thing about John Friend's network and all that, you know, because you're pretty much the only guy who didn't bash Christians. And I'm not a Christian, but it doesn't take a bright bulb to understand that it just creates division. I think I when I came back from the bar the other night when I called you, you know, I had drank some hard liquor like Jack Daniel's, and I talked to you about that, and I think it's a good idea, you know, not to really exaggerate on that, because not everyone is the same. And you know, I'm agnostic. I don't believe in, I don't follow any books or whatever, but I do think there's some sort of God, air quotes, you know.
I understand what you're saying, and I've tried to, in the past, I've tap danced around the Christian issue, and... But I'll say this, you know, it's really ridiculous. You know, they talk about, a lot of people from that side talk about that, if you know, it's kind of interesting. It is okay for the people on the Christian side to bash everybody else, okay, and that's not divisive. But as soon as one or two networks with a different spiritual angle come on the scene, okay,
yeah,
and speak their minds, it's considered divisive. That doesn't make any fucking sense. I mean, the fact of the matter is that they don't like to be criticized.
Both sides don't make any sense. I mean, it's a personal choice. It's something that should be personal.
Well, it's a personal choice.
The big problem is
hey, it's a personal choice.
It's a fucking problem.
No. I live down here in the South with Baptists. They've been a problem for years. It's a personal choice. Those two. It's a personal choice. Up until the point when people want to start a theocracy and enforcing their religious viewpoint on everybody else. And when you're talking about people with some of these religious beliefs, they want to get in power, and they don't even respect what this country was founded upon, which is basically a secular style of governance. Okay, they don't even respect that. They want to get elected, and they'd love to get their slimy little hands on all the power, so they can start telling people what to do based upon the Bible. And that is even worse than what we have now.
You know, Mike, on the other end, you've got people that have been brought up like just normal folks. You know, they've been brought up that way, and they just believe that shit, and they're not out to convert anybody else. So that's my problem is by bashing everybody, it doesn't help. That's what I mean, you know. It's kind of I understand what you just said to me. I'm not a fucking moron, but at the same time, I don't think it's a good idea to be extreme in that sense, you know. And they shouldn't be extreme. In their point of view.
Well, but it is a good idea. But you see, but it is. And look, here's the problem that I have with that is that extreme is their position. Extreme is their position. Because what they're saying is that the Jews saying they're the chosen people is wrong, but we're the Christians, we're the real chosen people. And so if you disagree with any group of chosen people, you're automatically screwed up.
Yeah, but
you're missing the
point I'm trying to make here. You're missing
the
point I'm trying. The the point I'm trying to make is that because you're quoting from the most extreme religious people, and I'm just talking about everyday average Christians who, by the way, you know, these Christians, I've never met a fucking Christian that would fucking pull a Jew shit on you, you know?
Oh, hell, you're in Canada. You ought to come down here to the Bible Belt.
Come down to
the Bible Belt, and I'll show you hardcore fundamentalist Christians here that in some cases are even worse than the freaking Jews.
Yeah, that's Zionism. Yeah, that's,
no, it's not even Zionism. It's Christianity.
Okay, I'm not going to waste too much time on your radio show, but I'm just saying a lot of people I met in my life, you know, everyday life, that are Christian and don't try to fucking, convince everybody that what they think is true and all that, because they're not all like that. And these people don't deserve to be bashed like assholes, because most of them I know, they would never fucking swindle me or fucking steal my wallet or whatever. They'd never do that. So I'm kind of in between that. I'm agnostic. I don't have a fucking religion. I believing in one book and the other is totally absurd to me. But I'm just saying, there's kind of a whoa. You know, yeah. Everybody needs to take a deep breath and kind of. Take a deep breath and just, you know, it's not everybody who's extreme, you know. Not everybody is extreme in all that shit, you know.
No.
And that's pretty much what I wanted to say, you know. That...
Now, let's talk about what are we going to do with those Jewish operatives over at you guys' site?
You know what? There's probably the way I figure, there's only three or four, and there's one or two that talk to themselves. So, you know, they're just polluting the fucking thing, and they're talking to themselves. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But
Hold on for a second. If we agree that we have the enemy is the Jew, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Then why allow known Jewish operatives to pollute comment sections and try to discredit the information that people spend a lot of time putting out?
Mike, we are smart enough to see who is a fucking asshole operative or whatever, and who is just legitimately saying stupid shit, or who is an asshole just, you know. You got to be retarded not to see the difference.
Here's the deal, though. If it's so obvious and retarded, why even allow it to happen?
Because they're going to win, man.
They're definitely going to win if you give them a concentration camp and post all the comments.
It ain't going to happen. Nobody's going to shut down the comments over there. They can do what the fuck they want. Fucking Jews ain't gonna shut down the comments at Mammy Shit. I can assure you.
Yeah, I know the Jews aren't gonna shut down the comment section at Mammy Shit because there's only Jews commenting there.
Fuck you. uh, you know, the whole thing is that's what they want us to do. They want us to moderate and blah, 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 and blah, blah.
Yeah, but they moderate our shit everywhere we go.
Well, we're not at this stage. I talk to Mary a lot, and we're not at a stage at the point of, I mean, come on, you fucking trolls. Come on and troll Mary shit. We'll see what happens.
No, I mean, but
now it's a free-for-all, it's a jungle, and if you're smart enough, you know what the fuck is going on and who is doing what.
Well,
that's
you know,
I gotta say.
Yeah, but if it's so obvious, I don't understand why let it continue.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're interested,
yeah.
I mean, let me ask you this though. If you're interested, are you interested in letting and giving freedom of speech? Hold on a second. Are you interested in giving freedom of speech to Jew trolls or giving freedom of speech to people who want to defeat the enemy?
I'm interested in free speech.
Okay.
And when you've got invaders like that the best way to fuck up that's how they do it and I'm just
why is David in Texas show banned on your site?
That was myself. I decided last Sunday that I was sick of it after 5 weeks of fucking bashing Christians and bullshit like that. I was sick of it. So that's my call.
So no free speech. Free speech for Jew trolls, but no free speech for those who disagree with your Christianity.
I'm not even a Christian, and I like Dave and Texas.
But wait a minute. I thought it was free speech. I thought it was about free speech. But so it's not about free speech if you ban his show.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm a human being. Sometimes I'm in a bad mood.
I'm a human being, too. I'm in a bad mood right fucking now.
Last Sunday, I didn't feel like, you know, I thought like five fucking weeks in a row of bashing Christian was ridiculous, you know? So, and the funny thing is I kind of agree with him, and I kind of like him because he says it how he likes to say it, and what he thinks is true, he says it, and I really respect that.
But you don't respect it enough to put it on your site. Actually, I guess, you know, the silver lining is here is that David in Texas is lucky. He doesn't have to deal with a bunch of Jewish trolls commenting on his shows anymore.
It's the first time I do that.
That's the first time you did that?
Yeah. It's the first time I didn't post one of your shows, man.
Wow.
Renegade shows. It's the first time. I was just sick of him doing it.
Well, it seems to me that it works in you guys' favor to post our shows and allow all the Jews to comment on.
His fucking synopsis starts with retarded fucking Christians. You know, what the fuck? I mean,
well, why not? That's his freedom of speech. That's his freedom of speech.
I know, and that's why I tolerate the whole shit. But last Sunday I was in a bad mood, and I just didn't feel like fucking posting it. That's it.
Well, you know what?
It was just a personal thing.
I'm in a bad mood right now, and I don't feel like talking to you anymore. There you go. You're banned. How do you like that? All right. It's a popper from Mammy Shit, the Internet Concentration Camp. The only place Jew trolls can go when they get kicked out of all the other legitimate places, the Siberia of the Internet, a place where free speech is allowed unless you disagree with the fucking people that run it. What a fucking joke. We'll allow free speech for Jew trolls, free speech for everybody to criticize shows they're putting on information, allegedly exposing the enemy. And then, but God forbid, it's okay for Jew trolls to go on there and comment on what everybody's doing, putting personal information of the host out on your site, saying all kinds of fucked up shit. That's all. They're protected by freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. Where's some French bread and wine? I want my freedom of speech. They're protected. But then, when the fucking, when you don't like a show, you just don't post it anymore. Well, you know what? I don't want you to post my fucking show over there. But I suppose you'll post it now because it'll do you more good to post my show and have your Jew troll friends over there criticize everything I fucking say. The silver lining here for David in Texas is at least he doesn't have to, his shows don't have to be put through the Jewish deli shop meat grinder at Lipschitz Deli with all the fucking Jew troll commenters you got coming over there. What a fucking joke. A fucking joke. Give me a fucking break. Freedom of speech. Here's your fucking freedom of speech. And it's hanging low. It's your low-hanging fruit. God damn it. All right. Anybody else want to call in? It's 347-633-9657. Everybody can call in, and I'll take their call because I believe in freedom of speech except for Zapopper because I'm in a bad mood and I don't feel like posting his comments today. Everybody else feel free to comment. Call in. Freedom of speech. This show is all about freedom of speech. The Jews control ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, fuck news. They control the whole goddamn television. And I'm going to open the phone line so they can try to control this show as well. Why not? Oh, what a fuck. Oh, now the other Jews calling back in. Ooh, give me a fucking break. The other Jews calling in from Finland. Oh. If it's not one, it's the other. And this is why I take calls. I love it. I love it. This is why I take calls. Because we have to allow, I always love to hear what's, you know, I read the Jerusalem Post from time to time. I have people in the workforce and people in my personal lives I have to deal with that constantly remind me of how stupid and fucked up this world is. But to really put everything in perspective, I like to open up the phone line so all the Jew trolls can call in. What a joke. There we go. So I'm done. I want my show not, I'm saying this right now, I don't want my show posted at Mammy Shit anymore. Okay? We'll see what happens. I do not give you permission to post my show there. There you go. Because you know what? I'm in a bad mood, and I don't feel like allowing a bunch of Jews to comment on what I do. There's where I stand. So, we got lots we can talk about. Let's see here. Let me have a sip of water. Man, that's good water. That's water with freaking hops in it. Oh, my God. It's amazing. It is amazing. And that's, you know, and we eventually get to the truth, don't we? Oh, I got a call here. Caller, you are live.
Hi, Mike. This is Andrew in North Carolina.
Hey, man.
How's it going? Listening to the show. Good so far. A little crazy, but I want to say that I completely understand what you're talking about with Mammy's site over there.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually posted comments there that have been moderated, even though they were not trollish comments. I want to kind of touch back on what you were talking about with the the Christian Zionists and the evangelicals. Here where I live, I have the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the South just like you, and it's very difficult to to get through to these people. If you say the word Jew, it's like kryptonite or, you know, something to them. They feel like they personally are being attacked. And what I found, what I've kind of realized recently through some of the Christians that I, you know, talk to is that they identify, you know, their views are different than what we consider Christian and what we talk about as Christians, but they identify with these Christians.
Right.
Their views are completely different. You know, some of them might not even believe that hell is a real place. They're aware of, you know, the different interpretations, creative interpretations of the word hell in the Bible. And I've just been trying to figure out how exactly to talk to these people and to make them understand. And with some of them, I've just kind of started as small as possible. And you just kind of have to work really, really slow with them to make them understand. But this whole idea that we need to become more politically correct or that we need to be quiet about what we believe, as far as on the internet, I think is ridiculous. I don't believe in that. But as far as when I communicate with these people, I don't just say, "Oh, the Holocaust was a hoax," and all these other different points that people like to make online. They're not as acceptable to people in public. They aren't going to understand it. So we have to kind of, I think, start with the media control, because a lot of Christians, they see this influence and they don't really like it. If you can show them what's actually going on and what these people are putting out, they will start to come around. I don't know. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree, man. And I try, you know, of course, you know, I wouldn't, you know, the stuff that we do on the internet here is really, I mean, we're trying to organize and unite people that already kind of see what's happening as a block. And I've said this before, I'm really not interested as far as this type of activism here with these shows is concerned, as far as trying to grab in massive amounts. I think there's a lot of us out there that already see what's happening, and we just need to unite in some sort of block and begin to apply what we already have in line into the real world politically. And I think that alone will begin to create a stir. But as far as bringing more people in, what you said is absolutely true. I mean, you can't – I mean, it's a very – you have to really, you know, be patient in talking with these people, because, first of all, you can't say anything about the Jews for the most part that's negative in a conversation with them. You can't criticize anything out of the Bible. You can't criticize anything in Fox News.
Yeah.
So you're kind of starting, you know, with, you know, so what do you talk about? You're like, usually when I talk to a Southern Baptist, here's usually what I say. I say, let me ask you something. They go, "Yes, brother, what do you want to ask me?" I say, "I want to ask you this. How come it's not okay to drink wine in your church?" And they go, "Well, because," I say, "Jesus drank wine. You believe Jesus is God, right?" "Yes, brother, of course. But the reason Jesus drank wine was because the water was polluted and they had to drink fermented juice because the water was so dirty." "But wait a minute. I thought Jesus was God. Couldn't he turn polluted water into clean water instead of wine? And why did he save the more strong stuff for the last in the wedding ceremony?"
Exactly.
"Well, you're assuming. You know what happens? You assume, brother. You make an ass out of you and me. Come to church on Sundays, brother." Here, that's basically how it goes. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know how far I'm going to get in a conversation with most of these people.
Yeah, I have the same problem. I've kind of tried to, I guess, talk to people about some of this material. I kind of bounce things off of people occasionally when I have the chance or it seems appropriate. And I've had people ask me, you know, what is all this Jew stuff? Like, what's your deal with the Jews? And when you try to explain it to them, they seem very confused. Like, "Oh, you must be crazy." One case in particular, I talked to somebody that about the media influence, the degenerative media influence, and there was one show in particular. It was I think a show on HBO, some some type of gladiator type of show. It wasn't Game of Thrones or anything like that. I think it was maybe Spartacus. And I watched two episodes of it one night, and it was just the most, I don't know, the gayest shit I'd ever seen to me. there was one reference where a guy said to another character in the show, you know, I'm going to stick my thumb up your ass. And I just kind of had to laugh because I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's a bunch of shirtless men like walking around and, you know,
God, yeah.
Basically whitey tighties. So, and I tried to talk to somebody about this and they're like, oh man, I love that show. They're like, that show is awesome, man. That's the greatest show I've ever seen. I'm like, really? And I try to explain some of these things and they seem to think, oh, you're just crazy. They don't do that on purpose. They don't put any of that stuff in there on purpose. And I don't think it's always necessarily on purpose, but it's this overarching, I guess, idea. I don't even know what to call it anymore as far as cultural Marxist idea that has been put out through Hollywood. And it's sick to me. And I started looking into today, looking into some of the, you know, Billboard top rap songs. And the lyrics, it's just the same shit over and over. It's, you know, money, bitches, sex, and guns. They constantly reference guns. Yet the media wants everyone to think that white people in the South are the ones with the guns and they want to kill, you know, black people and Mexicans and they just want to kill everybody. And, you know, all the mass shooters are white. And all this, this crap, yet you've got in Chicago in 2011, there was over 500 murders, 75% of them that were black, whereas they make up, I believe, 40% of the population. And I think the other 20% was Hispanic. So you've got somewhere around like a 10 to 15% white murderer rate, basically the perpetrator of the murder would be white. It's crazy to me. I try to think about this stuff sometimes, and I just can't even wrap my mind around it. That it's,
and you know, if you really want to think about it, man, is you know, it's kind of the reason why we're losing right now is because, you know, they're talking about, well, let's look at the facts. They have money, bitches, and guns. Well, wait a minute. I mean, and what's being programmed into the white community is this. Homosexuality, anti-gun, self-hating, white guilt, and let's all be communist peasants. It's evil to make any money, right? So get rid of your guns, sleep with men, don't make any money, you know, act like a feminized little, you know, baby, crybaby in the white community. And at the same time, the Southerner Redstone Jewish media is pumping in into the heads and the minds of the proxies and the minority groups to sleep with white women, amass guns, and grab money. And they're actually promoting them within the corporate structure. And there's an economic apartheid going on in this country right now to keep us out in the corporate structure on purpose.
Yeah, I see that. And my girlfriend actually, at one of her jobs, even a manager mentioned something about somebody getting a promotion and the fact that black women have a better chance of getting a promotion versus white women. And even black women are ahead of black men as far as, I guess, basic employment, what you would call the major job creators, you know, the corporations. And all you have to do is turn on the TV for 5 minutes and watch commercials to tell what they're trying to program into white people.
Yeah.
I can barely stand even watch the commercials anymore.
And what makes me sick is when I go shopping where I live, I'm sure it's pretty similar where you're at, being in the South and all. When I go shopping where I'm at, I see self-hating white people all day long. There'll be a minority family with their shopping cart full of all these scrimps and lobsters and, you know, all kinds of high-end foods. And then there'll be, you know, some pacifist-looking, you know, pale, sickly-looking white person, oh, y'all go ahead in front of me. Y'all go ahead. They
yep.
let them cut in line, and then they pull out a goddamn EBT card.
Yep.
So
let them cut in line
in front of you, let them eat all the scrimp, and then let them buy their fucking shopping cart full of food with your tax dollars.
Yeah,
total
exactly.
preposterous.
And what's funny is I work in low-income housing. I do construction in low-income housing. And I started noticing right around, I guess, April, a lot of these people started getting new cars. And I'll say that 90%, at least 90% of the people that live in the projects that I work on are black. There's very few whites. Most of the whites that are there are with a, you know, black male or date a black male, a couple Hispanics. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, you start seeing the cars. New cars come in, and there was a show I listened to that you did around that time where you mentioned that the Kia dealership was giving out free grape drink, and
yeah.
I had to laugh because most of the new cars I saw were Kias, so it's just really ironic to me, and it's just frustrating when I work this job. I work typically 50, sometimes 60 hours a week. I drive a car that, you know, isn't that great. I should have a truck, you know, for the type of work that I do, but I do drive a car because of, you know, gas mileage and all that. And I see these people driving around brand new cars. They've got, you know, brand new Nikes and you know, all this shit, and they live in low-income housing, and even
mm-hmm.
the low-income housing is great. I mean, the rooms are big. The rooms are, I mean, it's not a mansion. It's nothing
right.
spectacular, but it's not this like rundown ghetto of a project like most people I think imagine when they think of projects or low income housing. They're actually really nice places. One of them that I actually work at, they have a place where you can wash your laundry and dry your clothes, and you have to pay for it, but I mean, whatever. But they also have a pool. They have a community room where people can come and, you know, watch. They can have the kids come and watch a TV or a movie, and they can throw birthday parties and things like that. It's really ridiculous to me. I have a hard time fathoming what is actually going on here.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane, man. And it's just part of the war that we face is that there is national socialism in this country if you're not white. Let's just
yeah.
be honest. There is national socialism in this country if you are a minority group. If you are a non-white, we already have national socialism. They get Medicaid. They get health care paid for free. I used to work in a drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that. They get their food taken care of. They get free housing. They get part of their vehicle money paid every month, their bills
yeah.
on that paid. There is the people's car, the people's health care, the people's house. There is national socialism in this country for non-whites. And then when white people get on a network like this and say, we want that for us, they say, oh, you're racist, you're sick, you're mentally ill, you're crazy. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you preach about national socialism? Because you see, national socialism is only kosher, pun intended,
yeah.
if you're not white. And, hey, Andrew, I got some other calls here. You want to hang on and while I bring them up? You want to stay on?
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool. I got the Hungry Hun here. The Hungry Hun, you
Hello.
Are live. Yes.
Hello, Mike. This is Paul Joseph
oh.
Watson reporting live from Albion. How are you, Mike? I'm really offended, but I want to wish you well. Because we sound as if you're on the alcohol again.
No, I'm not on the alcohol again.
Oh, okay. Well, I have some problems with talking about Christians because you must realize, Mike, that
yes.
the Christians are against the subterranean, Mediterranean, Slavic, Celtic, Baltic, Germanic death cult. Where are you getting your facts, man? That's who we're up against. And the Christians are on the right side, like Professor Griff and KRS-One. You must realize that multiculturalism mode is the way to go. And that the British Empire did right in World War II, and they saved you from the Nazi Death Empire that was taking over, just like in Star Wars. I don't know what's wrong with you, Mike. Clearly, you and your listenership are ill-informed. You must listen to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv to get the real facts. People are being misled at Renegade. It's really sad, really.
Well, Paul, since you called in from across the pond, since you called in from across the pond there in Jew England, let me ask you this. I see where Kyle had sent me a link where Alex Jones now is going to join Adam Kosher Kokesh on his open carry march into the District of Criminals.
Oh, yes.
And Alex Jones is going to be there. I'm going to be there reporting on this as a reporter. I'm going to show up with Adam Kokesh from RT, from the Bolshevik party apparatchik organ there. We're going to march into Washington. I'm going to have Rob Dew there. We're going to show up. Paul, you're probably going to be there. We're going to cover this. It is time. This thing has gone DEFCON 5, DEFCON 6.
That's right. That's right, Alex. And to report on that is historic. And not Jewish in any way, shape, or form, because the say-so is anti-Semitic, and those people have always been on the wrong side of history. Isn't that right, Alex?
Absolutely. It's an oligarchical death trap, and we're going to be there. We're going to be covering this, and also we're getting new advertising money from the Jewish firearms manufacturers.
Excellent. Alex, sounds good. Mike, that was historic also. I just got home from penning my latest piece for tomorrow after work, you know. And, I come home and I turn it on, and who calls in? Mr. Siberia himself.
Mr. Siberia.
That was pretty intense, man. This seems like a great show thus far. Keep it up.
Well, it's just telling that, you know, freedom of speech, you know, I'll protect the freedom of speech for obvious Jewish operatives.
Right.
Okay? But if you put out a show that, he disagrees with, even though the whole site's about freedom of speech...
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is, as I said, at least David's show no longer has to be trolled by Jewish operatives.
Right. And he'll
probably put it back up now that I've said that.
You know, Mike, let me just say this. When back in the day, November 2012, when Truth Militia, they were putting our shows up there, you know, I didn't feel especially honored to be featured on a site called Mammy's Shit. So I thought it was kind of an insult to me. But nevertheless, you know, I thought it was great. You know, there's a bunch of people there, like-minded, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I mean, it dawned on me real quick the fuck was going on over there. I mean, if to moderate it and have legitimate people make comments, I mean, and I'm not against constructive criticism.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but... I'm trying to be logical here and honorable. I mean, it's another thing if you're posting with anonymous people posting personal information and pointless and starting arguments or seemingly attempting to start arguments. It's just a joke, man. I mean, so yeah, that's all I got to say about that. You know.
Well, I have a someone in the chat is saying, don't let this be a circle jerk. Put me on. And I have a caller here besides you guys that's all ones, and these usually are pretty good. Let's go to the phone number of all ones here and see. All
Hello,
ones,
guys.
You are alive.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay, what kind of info do you want from Europe?
The same. Now you're calling it as all ones. Great. I want you. Hey, here's the deal. Can I make you the official Tel Aviv reporter for Renegade Broadcasting?
Sure. But
and that way we can have our man on the ground in Tel Aviv, and then you can call in to the shows, and we'll do call in shows, and you can give us the Jewish perspective.
I did promise you to give you sound information. What do you want to know from Europe on the field, on the ground?
Okay, what's going on there in Tel Aviv?
Tel Aviv, nothing much. It's a big gay party, probably.
Okay.
The people I know from Tel Aviv are gay. But I can tell you something about Scandinavia. I can tell you something about Germany. I can tell you something about Hungary, Romania. Not so much Germany, but I can do Finland, maybe start a bit Sweden. I can do Denmark, most of that stuff.
How did you get a phone number with all ones?
I have no fucking idea. I guess it was Judaic God.
Oh, my God. Okay, so answer me this. What do you think Benjamin Netanyahu is going to do next? He's bombed Syria. They're obviously putting the scandals now on hard and heavy there in Washington with Obama. You're our inside man in Tel Aviv. Let's get to the bottom.
I'm not the inside man in Tel Aviv, but I guess, you know, sooner or later, we all know that Benjamin is running the big Free Syrian Army.
Yeah.
And they're all paying for it. You know, they probably have people educated in the United States, people educated in Denmark or Sweden or Norway or Germany doing the same things. I actually lived at a place where they educated these people for a while. So I know them very, very near and daily.
Hey, let me ask you this, in all seriousness, I'm not joking around now. I did a show last week on the World Jewish Congress and the Jobbik Party there in Hungary.
Right.
And it turned out that one of the rising stars in the Jobbik Party there was actually Jewish.
Yeah.
Do you think that – what's your opinion there? Do you think that party is controlled opposition completely, or do you think that was just an infiltrator into the party, or is it a widespread happening?
I think it's complicated because whenever you have a party rising to the top, you're always going to have infiltrators.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the funny thing is, like in Europe, and I have examples from this from my home country, which I do not want to reveal, we had, for instance, anti-racist groups starting what would be called white and normal parties. To support their money funding from the government. You know, so you would
mm-hmm.
have police, far right parties run by left wing extremists to finance, so that they would get finance from the EU and from the national government.
Yeah, no. Interesting, man. I thought that piece about the Jobbik Party was interesting because they know, I mean, let's just be honest here, they like to put their, they don't put their eggs in one basket, and they love to make sure that they have their tentacles in the parties that are already have already been created. A lot of times they create the parties themselves because they know, look, they have all these think tanks, they have all these computer models, they do all these polling, they have all these polling groups. They
know. But then again, you must understand, like, Hungary, I know Hungary close to personal. I've been spending time there. I live there. I've sown some old wild old stuff. Hungary is a special place. It's maybe the most real place in Europe. So you will have the situation that you have actually hardcore anti-Semites
mm-hmm.
high up in the government.
Right.
And you have hardcore anti-Semite organizations like Jobbik infiltrated with Jews. And
okay.
you would also have the biggest concentration, like in Budapest,
uh-huh.
or with Jewish or Israeli citizens in continental Europe. You know, so it's a continuously place of political warfare where you have
organizations like Yobbik, they will try to take it over.
Sure.
Maybe they started it. Maybe the Nazis took it over, and then there's like infighting over who's going to control it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Continuously. Because, I mean, European politics, it's not the same as American politics. And when you first open your eyes to this as a European, it's like walking down the white rabbit path. It's completely insane, you know. You'll have people killing each other, actually shooting politicians, ending up dead on the street, which happens in Europe all the time.
Right.
This is continuously infighting. With infiltrators, supporters, stuff like this.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens here is that anytime we start to try to unite or try to, you know, form some kind of movement to actually bring about some sort of real agenda that's actually beneficial to the nation, particularly European culture and heritage, infighting seems to be the number one tactic. The number one way they get us to, we literally self-destruct before we even take off the ground. You know, the this movement is kind of like Kenyan Airlines, okay? We can't even take off the ground here, okay?
Yeah.
And it's mainly because, well, I think early on in this broadcast, you saw proof of that. We have a bunch of people that claim to be on our side, and then they allow operatives to dissect and defame and butcher the information. And then when you put out real information, like one of the shows broadcasters on this network has, David in Texas, a great show, he doesn't get the same freedom of speech that's allowed to Jewish operatives. And so, you know, with that going on, with this circular firing squad that we have going on, you know, it's very frustrating, but we're just going to have to work through it and do the best we can, I think, you know?
But I think, like, in the end, like, for instance, on the European ground, what it's
mm-hmm.
like, Jobbik is great now in Hungary, it's great to have the Golden Dawn and stuff like that, but the problem is always infiltration, but it's also how we deal with infiltration, you know, because eventually the situation will be that we will start organizations that are for our benefit. They will try to infiltrate, but then also they will start organizations to serve their all those evil, racist people around narrative, if you understand what I mean.
Yep.
We will infiltrate them, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a continuous chaos, and this is the situation. It's a situation which the Jews won, basically.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to fight it. I think we have lost in many ways. The reason is that we, in the end, white people, and this is why I called in the rest earlier.
Sure, sure.
Who are white people? You know, we have this idea about skin color, stuff like this,
mm-hmm.
and I guarantee you, I'm a 100% Nordic-looking person. But
mm-hmm.
when I woke up out in the street, I look into my fellow Nordic-looking person's eyes. They are fucking niggers. They are retards. They don't understand jack shit. And this is the reality we will have to deal with, because
is that the way it is over there where you're at as well?
It's like this everywhere. It doesn't
really
matter where I am. I've been lots of places. I've been
looking into
these places.
Yeah,
in New York, I've been looking into these faces. In Stockholm, Sweden, I've been looking into these faces. Even in Singapore, and they're fucking lost.
Yeah.
And the question, in the end,
mm-hmm.
why am I different? I have a brother that despises everything I'm about.
Mm-hmm.
we come from the same mother. But apparently we don't share the same genetics.
Right. I understand,
so
man.
Here's the deal. Should we fucking save all white people? I don't think we should. I don't think we should. Because I think this idea of whiteness based on skin color is foolish. Because the way I see most white people are like the perfect slave. It's the perfect slave. They do whatever they're told. They never ask questions.
And here's another thing that I think that contributes to that is the fact that for the most part, with the new generation of people in Europe, and I can say this with everybody here in the United States, we have never seen a situation like Dresden, where people in this country have been carpet bombed into oblivion in a real Holocaust. The people in this country have never had to live through that nightmare and that tragedy. They have never witnessed members of their family shipped to Siberia or forced into labor camps by Jewish politicians under the banner of the hammer and sickle. And
None of these people living here in Europe today have ever seen that. They have no understanding for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But
the new generation in Europe has even lost touch with their elders that had to go through that, right? I mean, it's, you know.
I really feel sorry for them because in the end, there's no way, because these people, and it goes from Europe to the United States, they have no fucking idea about how fucking horrible the world is.
Yeah.
Some have, you know, because some have been soldiers and been doing the Jews' bidding abroad and seen the horrors at the villages in Afghanistan where they were murdering people, or they've seen the horrors in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Or stuff like that. Some have, you know, but they all keep it bowed down. Like, it's something that could never happen at home because at home, it's a harmony, it's multicultural peace, it's where everybody loves each other.
Right.
But, come on. I grew up the hard way. I had gangs, I had people I had to relate to, I was 16 years old, I had a gun for protection because I need to keep my territory, stuff like this, long time ago. But most people, and I mean 99% of people, have no fucking clue of what this is like.
No, they don't. And
they don't.
I would say this, I mean, the main reason why I do this, it was posed earlier, why do you do this? I will say this. The main reason why I do this is this, is because half of my family's roots are Ukrainian, and many on that side were murdered in cold blood by Jewish Bolshevik communist scum.
Yeah.
And I feel a personal connection to that, and a personal this is personal for me, to answer that question. This is personal for me, because, you know, it has gone on long enough, and what really pisses me off is the fact that they have committed more murders than any other group of any other people in the history of mankind under their banner of communism, which is the Jewish philosophy, unadulterated, put into political practice, and they have murdered hundreds of millions of people in a real Holocaust, whether it be the Ukraine, whether it be Poland, whether it be China, whether it be Dresden in that campaign, or whether it be in this country or South Africa right now in the current Holocaust that's going on down there by the Jewish-controlled Black African National Congress hiding behind the cloak of multiculturalism. And the reason why I do this is because of that. and it is personal for me. Yeah.
And it's an honorable reason, absolutely. I took a chance, now I called in, tried to go for a couple of proxies, but in the end I gave it to them. After all, I'm only going to be here for so long as I'm going to be anyway.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Most of these people that you are trying to save despise you.
I know.
Yeah. And
I know.
I went the hard way because, okay, I'm never going to claim I've been an activist. At one point I was. Standing at street corners and stuff like that, you know, when I was young and stupid. But here's the thing, you know, I would be the person that would tell you the story that I was never a far-right extremist, never nothing like that, never did anything like that, and then, wow, then I discovered the big red pill, which took me into some place. But in reality, I've always been a fascist.
Yeah.
In mind and spirit, from the day I was born, I read the Elder's Protocol of Sign when I was 13 years old. For me, going around lying that, yeah, it's true, like from sometime from when I was 16 to maybe 21, I was a libertarian, I was a race mixer, stuff like that. That's true. Yeah, through the college year, high school year, I did all that stuff. But in the end, you know, the reason who I am today, is my genetics. It's always programmed into me from the time of my birth. It was no escaping. And this is what sets us apart from these mindless drones around us. They have no purpose. They're only there to consume and eat and be happy. They have nothing to fight for. If they would choose a quick death before a struggle, they would choose it.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate you calling in the show, and I'm going to move on now and wrap it up. But take care, dude.
Okay, take care.
All right, man. All right. A caller from Europe, possibly. yeah, I think he was. Anyway, getting back here, and if you want to call in, we still have a little time left, 347-633-9657. Call in if you want to call in. If you're a Jew, Abe Foxman troll working to comment at Mammy's site, Mammy shit, Mammy. This is your opportunity to call Mike Sledge at 347-633-9657. If you're Zapopper, your call will not be taken because I believe in free speech, and I will not take your call because I believe in free speech. So, you know, that's how free speech works. It's free for everybody except those that I hate. And but if you want to call in, call in. I have a 206 here. 206, you're alive.
Hi, this is Sean calling. Mike, I love your show, man, and you're right on about the proxy thing. They're always using proxies. And I want to say, Mike, look what they did to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Look what the Jews did to Russia. Look what they did to the Ukraine, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
Look what they did to Poland, as you said. Look what they're doing to Palestine. It's one big outdoor concentration camp.
Right.
And now, Mike, my concern is that we're running out of time. They're going to bring that stuff here, bro. And they come after, you know, they went after the Tsar with a vengeance and the Russian people and the Germans. Anyone who stood up to them, but and now, Mike, they're bringing that shit here against us. Hardcore.
Yeah, and I think the way that they're doing it here, and this is how, you know, insidious these guys are. the enemy, the Jews that we face. This is how insidious they are, is that they're not going to come after us like they did in the past, like what they did to Dresden or like what they did in the Ukraine. What they're doing here is they've created a labor camp, a Siberia, with us approving of it through Jewish psychology and their media control and their television, which they didn't have back in those days. And what they're doing is they brainwashed us with the disease of Bolshevism, of liberalism, of self-hate and white guilt. So we are actually cheering on, for the most part, our own demise and destruction and isolating ourselves in gated communities, okay? We are actually paying millions of dollars to buy homes in gated communities. We are paying to be prisoners and paying to hate ourselves and giving them our money and locking ourselves up. They don't even have to force us to Siberia with a barrel of a gun anymore. That's how disgusting it is.
Right, Mike. They're doing it on our own soil with cultural Marxism, as you say. I'm a teacher. I see that crap every day. And they're using, obviously, they're using the immigrants, Mike, to as a proxy to destroy our culture. And, Mike, I mean, look at every 7-Eleven. I think their next move, Mike, is that they're going to bring, I mean, they've already started bringing in the Muslims.
Yeah.
Every 7-Eleven here, every taxi cab is a Middle East person. And, Mike, I read this article on Kevin McDonald's site. In Sweden, the guys can't even walk down the street without getting beat up because the Muslims hang out in big groups. The girls are going out with the Muslims because they think it's cool and chic.
Yep.
So now that the second, you know, it was the Latin Americans, and now they're bringing in the Middle Eastern people, and they're destroying us. Mike, not only that, but with all the poison in the food, the GMOs, the cancer, they're soft killing us, and I think they're speeding up. And I think that the Department of Home, I think the police state, that they're gonna bring that on us too. And Mike, as you say, we can't even. They got us in such lockdown that we can't even criticize them. We don't have freedom of speech because if you call them out on stuff, you're a racist.
Yeah. And you know what's funny about that is that I get more flack from white people for how I talk than I do from minorities. As a matter of fact, the minorities, people that I come in contact with that I actually talk to, then I actually tell them what I think, they actually respect me and go, hey, you know, it's a breath of fresh air to see a white guy that doesn't hate himself and that actually has some kind of muscle and is not a pussy, you know, and they actually respect me and talk to me more than the white people. The white people are like, oh, my God, he's so racist and closed-minded. How dare he talk like that? It's a total joke. A total joke.
Yeah. Exactly. Mike, do you think we need to wake up? Do we need to wake up our sheeple, Mike?
Well,
do we spend time on them?
Here's what I think, man. I mean, I don't know, man. I think, I do these type shows. It's my way of trying to do something. But, you know, I'm not, you know, crazy in the head. Do I think that it's actually changing a lot of things? Probably not. But the bottom line is, look, I think that there is a lot of us out here that believe in what's that see what's happening, okay?
Yeah.
But I believe that what happens is when we start to come together, and what you've seen in this alternative media in the last couple months with the infighting and the people and the backstabbing and the people doing all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, the biggest problem we have is ourselves.
Infighting, Mike.
The infighting,
yeah. Is killing us.
But you see, it's not even infighting. It's you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. So what happens is that we have these Jewish ground rules that have been set of things that we can't talk about, And those things that we can't talk about are the things that need to be talked about in order for us to turn this around. Because if we can't discredit the Jew God and the religion, which is the source of the self-hating and our weakness, and if we can't talk about that, and if we can't talk about, you know, issues like that, then we're screwed. It'll never change. Because, you know, if you look at it, the religious programming on its own is a very young program, historically speaking, right? We're talking about a couple thousand years. That's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket as far as human evolution and human history is concerned. And if you look at Rome, for instance, Rome collapsed very quickly when the programming of religion came in through the proxy of Catholicism, of universalism, of that whole created entity. And look, I just feel like, it's amazing. It's almost like this. You can talk about the Jews. You can talk about all kinds of issues, but once you start going after their main artery of money, which is religion, they need those churches that you see on every block. People talk about the Masons and the Illuminati, but the fact is there is a church on every corner for the most part in this country. They are the most powerful entity out there, and they are nothing more but shekel collectors and soul collectors for the Jewish mob. That's all they are. Yeah. And if we can't get past that, we are doomed from the start.
I agree, Mike, but it's also the cultural program, the television. They control the money supply. They can cut off that spigot anytime they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, as you know, they control the media. I don't even need to say all that. But they got so much power. I don't know, Mike. But I think we got to just speak the truth. And that's it. I don't know what else to say. But it's,
yeah, I agree, man. It's just time to
their bloodlust. There is you see it in history.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely, man. It's it never ends. But we have to. And here's the thing that really kills me is that people are so afraid of an intelligent debate. I mean, they're afraid of discussion. We've been so programmed by the Jewish media and the Jew schools that, you know, any type of outlook that differs from the program is treated with such hostility within mostly white European people's minds and our communities that we don't even get a chance to even debate this from the start because we've been programmed to knee-jerk and to ostracize, and here's why. Because there's an economic reason attached to that. People know, I might lose my job, right, if I'm called a racist. I might lose my income. I might lose my $3 million house that I pay for in my gated community. I pay a lot of money to be a prisoner.
Yeah. Mike,
I don't want to lose my prison status.
Mike, I think that we need to organize. We need to strategize. We need to organize. And Mike, we are the leaders. And because we're those of us who are awake to this, we're the de facto leaders. Okay, and we need a little bit of organization, discipline. We need to think like Hitler did, in terms of strategy, if we want to live. And we want our children to live. We need some sort of. I agree with you about the debate, open discussion, absolutely. But for the dumbed down public, we need. I don't think we can survive without getting a few of them. You know, to wake a few of them up. So we need to strategize on how to approach the dumbed down white people. We can debate all we want intellectually among ourselves, but we need some organization, some strategy on how to win in this movement, or we're going to get our butts kicked.
I agree, and we tried to organize here with national protectionism, and we got nothing but dissected and Jew trolled over at Mammy Shit. Hey, man, thanks for the call. And
thanks,
I want to wrap
Mike.
Up the show now. And call in anytime when I do these shows, man. It's great to hear from you.
My name's Sean. Awesome. Keep rocking.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Sean.
All right, brother. Yep.
All right, man.
Bye.
All right, I got one more call here. Let me just say this real quick before I take the last call here, the 612. Let me say this, that everybody, please tell Kyle how much you appreciate all the hard work he's done at Renegade Broadcasting. He's really done a great job here of doing the technical work, plus his great show, Blitzkrieg Broadcast. You know, this is very important, and we have tried to be a different network, and we're not afraid to go after sacred cows. We're not afraid to go after sites that claim to have thousands of hits, and we feel they're doing us dirty. If they're giving us the dirty Sanchez, then fuck them. You can go to hell like Screech from Saved by the Bell. I called Ed Sherini. He says that Zapopper is Screech from Saved by the Bell. They have the same ears. They match. Check out all the great shows here at Renegade Broadcasting. Dana, Tuesdays. Kyle, of course, on Mondays. Lou on The Devil's Den on Wednesdays. This show, of course, on Thursdays. You know, Siegfried! Siegfried and Goy on Fridays, Saturday Roundtable, and David from Texas, the show that seems to piss off many people, and it's a great show. And I got one more caller here we're going to wrap it up with, the 6-1 Jew. What's going on? You are live.
Hey, Mike, thank you for letting me call in the show. I just wanted to comment on a few things. You know, I want to say thank you for all the hard work you've done for everybody for the community, you know, because that, you know, I'm very proud of the way you broke it down, how the elites took over, how they dumbed this down through the school system, and you know, I'm proud of it, you know, because I've been friends with different of your people, because I'm non-white myself, and.
Uh-huh.
And basically, when I walk around here in Minnesota, it is like this is a it was a cesspool what I was watching on Monday because we had the gay marriage thing again here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's just a sick. That was a sick nightmare. I was like, why are we giving this? Why are you giving these people their rights and then you slap your own people with that?
Yes, it's ridiculous, man. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And another thing. People have to ask themselves. I think there's one story I heard that they took one of the flags down in England.
Mm-hmm.
They took the flag down, but then I asked myself, why the gays can put that crap out? I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know, man.
That's crazy. People, man, I asked this today, how does your people, your own people in your own country, can't even revolt that?
I know, man. It's revolting.
They don't want to revolt.
No, they don't want to revolt, man.
They don't even respect us, though. Like, what has happened?
And you never know what we're going to get when we do open lines. And who cares? And so, you know, who cares? We get trolled. That's why I open the phone lines for troll lines. And, yes, as Lucifer Sam would say, he sounds like Woody Allen. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Please stay tuned for all the great shows at Renegade Broadcasting. We will not back down. We will continue to go down this path and expose all the liars, the shields, the operatives, the Jews. Thank you, everybody. Peace out. I'm done. And stay tuned for Siegfried tomorrow, right here at Renegade Broadcasting. Cheers. Take it easy. Das Vidania.